The most compelling piece of data that I saw was how important it was that people were actually trained to utilize AI and what the improvement in not only confidence, but productivity was as a result of that.
Welcome to the Leaders of B2B podcast, a weekly show where we bring you interviews and in the weeds expertise with today's B2B experts and thought leaders. You can see more about today's episode and guest by visiting our website at leadersofb2b.com.
Welcome back to another episode of Leaders of B2B. I'm super excited to have Matt Krebsbach here from Acquia. Matt, we originally met at Content Marketing World. We were going to do a conversation there, but decided through the craziness of that to get you on an actual video call remote, calling in from Boston, right?
Actually, Acquia is headquartered in Boston, but I'm located down in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Okay, very cool. So why don't we just start by you giving a quick background of what you're doing with Acquia and just like, you know, what your day-to-day role is, what you're interested in. And from there, I think there's some conversations around data that we want to chat about.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm the Senior Vice President of Thought Leadership and Brand Awareness for Acquia, which is a digital marketing software company. We provide content management, digital asset management, customer data management, related optimization typologies to our customers to help them drive digital experiences across that customer journey. And my role at the company is really to look at how we manage our broader corporate narrative, the messaging positioning for the company overall, and how that dovetails into our product messaging. And then how we support that through really effective communications programs. So I have public relations and analyst relations under my remit, as well as content development and social media and worth of customer advocacy. And through that, I really try to take a pretty broad lens at, looking at what is happening out in the marketplace. What are the major trends that are driving technology adoption, business success? What are our customers, as well as our prospects, asking for in the landscape? What are they trying to achieve? And then we look at where we have right fit and sort of best of need capabilities to help them succeed in those endeavors.
So the one thing that stood out to me there, you talked a bit about trends, right? And I think coming off of Content Marketing World, it's always interesting to talk to whether it's individual practitioners, leadership, and what trends they're seeing. Before we started recording, you're sharing an interesting anecdote about what the Australian government is doing with, I think it was Office 360 and AI. I would love for you to share this story with the audience.
Yeah. So recently, the Australian government ran a large scale trial of Microsoft 365 Copilot. And, I thought this was very interesting because there are so many expectations around what AI can do. And we see a lot of great data points about people's perspectives around the increases in productivity, et cetera. But this was one of the first where I really saw, not just more anecdotal kinds of data, but truly large scale deployment and research around how people were leveraging an AI tool. And I think that from my perspective, there is a lot that is very interesting in that, but probably the most compelling piece of data that I saw was how important it was that people were actually trained to utilize AI and what the improvement in not only confidence, but productivity was as a result of that. So what the Australian government found was, as they rolled this out to almost 6,000 people, 75% of those participants who had three or more trainings on how to use the tool said that they were very confident in their use of that tool. And that was 28% percentage points higher than those individuals who had only had one training. And so, we talk about the innovation that is happening in the marketing and technology market and how much opportunity there is to, whether it's improve productivity, increase efficiency, drive performance, all of these things. But it's such a cliche to say it's about technology, process, and people. And yet, unfortunately, a lot of times we probably don't put enough emphasis on that people component. And I think that the research from the Australian government really kind of doubled down on the importance of that. So just a nice thing for us to pay attention to.
Well, the one thing that's interesting there is it's more than just adoption, right? Like especially if you wanted to narrow it down to AI, we can't just say, all right, we're going to bring in this AI tool, whatever it is. It could be Jasper or ChatGPT or you name it. And like, we can't just like expect it to work. There needs to be a broader scale training on it and learning how it, the capability, so it can make our lives more productive and efficient versus like, okay, here's this training self-service. Like, there needs to be a little bit more wide scale adoption is what I got from that. The thing that struck me when we first met and again today is like, your data plays a big role for you. And like, and I'm very curious of how like your role within in comm strategy for the business, or just maybe your interest in data and how that like drives communications for you, but then how that like also translates to the business. I don't know if that's too broad of a question, but that I think that's going to resonate a lot with the audience. Okay, I'm in this comms arena. How can I use data to make my life better, more interesting, efficient, productive?
Yeah, well, look, I think that, you know, data becomes important to storytelling in a couple of ways. One, as a communicator, I think it's incredibly important to be rooted in fact. And so data helps provide that grounding to know whether or not you're operating in reality or whether you're steering into just purely gut instinct. And look, sometimes gut instinct can bring some really interesting conversations to the top that are worthy of having. So I'm not trying to suggest that the absence of data should stop anybody from having a conversation. But ultimately, data helps you understand, one, operating in sort of that plane of truth. And then two, the more that you're able to dig into data, sometimes you find some really interesting nuances that most people would generally skip over. And I think, like, if I liken this to the technology market today, a lot of us would look at it and say, there's not a lot of differentiation necessarily even between a lot of products. It's sort of, you know, the real difference really comes in the margins. And I think that's actually true as well for a lot of marketing. A lot of vendors are using the same language. They're telling the same stories. They're hitting on the same messages, trying to extol the same value proposition. And so the more that you can tease out nuance through data, the better able you are to find something that might be an interesting wedge issue or leverage point or use case that helps people look at the world in a slightly different way. And that's ultimately, I think, what my role as a communicator is to help people understand the world in either a deeper way or maybe a way that's different from what they're accustomed by presenting new evidence to them. And ultimately, that's about how do we think about what that does to not just perception, but behavior.
Why do you think, because I think you're absolutely right. Like, if we do look at like software products, for example, and I worked in SaaS and software for almost 10 years before going into the agency world. And like one thing that I always struggled with was like, okay, we aren't that much different from any other service provider in our space. Like, and so that always struggled with me. And so like, I think a lot of places I had worked previously, we didn't do a great job of like differentiating ourselves with the story. It was kind of just like a copy and paste. Like, is that coming from like the investor, the board down of like, listen, your competitor is doing this really well. Like, why don't we just go do that? Is it a lack of creativity? Like, what is creating that almost, I guess it's a lack of creativity. Like what is, well, why isn't there more interesting creativity happening in messaging?
Well, it's such a good question. I'm not sure that it's necessarily about a lack of creativity. I think sometimes, yeah, that's the case. But I don't know that you can chalk it up to that as sort of like the singular issue. I think that there's also a certain risk aversion that a lot of organizations have. They're reluctant to be too far afield. There are perspectives around what categories might be more preferential in terms of driving valuations, and therefore, because there's a risk aversion, perhaps, you know, there's a reluctance to not deviate from those things that are relatively well known and recognized, drive attention. And, you know, look, I think anytime you start to get people gravitating around any one area for too long, it's inevitable that things are going to start sounding an awful lot the same. And look, we have, I think, a lot of technology markets, and certainly in MarTech, we're not immune from this. A lot of the technologies are reaching a stage of maturity. And so I think the notion here around what actually creates an interesting message for organizations starts to come into those aspects between brand, demand, and experience. And I was actually having this conversation just the other day on LinkedIn, actually, because there was this whole dialogue around whether or not brand and demand are one of the same or can be used without the other. And the one thing that I thought that was missing from that conversation was the notion of experience. And I sort of chalk it up this way, which you can think of brand as that thing that really helps people identify your fit in a marketplace. So I use the example, first of all, that like we should all just set the table that when we talk about demand, I'm not talking about demand generation from a marketing perspective. And that term gets thrown around so much, but I think it's really important for people to understand that when we want to tell a story and we want to convey a message, I can't create demand in somebody who doesn't acknowledge that they have a problem to solve. Demand is created by a customer's challenge. So, you know, in a very simple way, if I don't have a need to dig a hole, there's not a whole lot you could tell me that is going to make me want to buy a shovel. So, but if I do need to dig a hole, brand is one of those first things at the top of the funnel that is going to draw awareness around, you know, my business, do I sell shovels or pickaxes or excavators? And then the demand part of that marketing activity helps nurture me down the decision process by understanding, okay, does this organization sell the right tool for my need and my use case? The piece that's missing in that dialogue, if you only focus on those two elements, is, well, great, what's the experience that comes from using that product? Not just buying the product and using it, but the experience all the way leading up to that, as well as afterward, after the sale and after use. Because we have optionality and we have so much information at our disposal, the actual forces around brand and demand are starting to weaken, I believe, and experience is becoming so much more important to whether or not people remain loyal as customers. And so you have to really think about the intersection of all three of those things.
Coming from Content Allies, like we see everything from interesting, like an interesting content lens, and like what brands are doing or what organizations are doing creatively from a communication strategy perspective to deliver the message, to deliver that demand. Obviously, we think about it in podcasting. Like we are big proponents on it. We wouldn't exist if that wasn't the case. So what are some strategies that you've seen? And maybe it's podcasting, maybe it's something else. Like what are either organizations that you admire or what you guys are doing at Acquia that, I don't know, maybe you can share or stick go that are good examples of companies that are doing things uniquely?
Yeah, just at a very high level, I think the companies that are doing this the best are actually coming to the table with a very focused plan around what kind of content they want to communicate. And they're adhering to a quality is greater than quantity sort of mantra. We were talking just a moment ago about this sea of sameness that exists kind of out in the landscape. And, you know, I think that the challenge of breaking through with a signal amidst all of the noise is just harder than ever. And the way that you do that is not necessarily to be everywhere all at once, but to be really distinct and focused in understanding who is your customer, where are they trying to engage with you, and what is the way in which they actually want to consume information from you. So that actually, to bring this back to like the data lens, there's data that we can use in storytelling, but then there's data that we really need to understand from a marketing operations perspective so that we know who our customer is and where to reach them. But when you know those pieces, I think it's incredibly important to really start to think about how do you optimize that in a way where you're delivering consistently valuable information to them in ways that are engaging and useful. So I love the outdoors, and, you know, I'm going to throw Patagonia out here as a really good example. You know, I think they do a tremendous job of communicating in a way that is both incredibly authentic to who they are as a brand that has withstood the test of time. And look, that is, in my mind, one of the most meaningful elements, that when brand remains true to who they are over time, rather than constantly shifting with the winds of changing trends and different dynamics in the marketplace, I think that's powerful. The best brands in the world are who they have always been. Second to that, though, they, I think, are incredibly empathetic to the customer base that they serve. They understand those individuals' wants, needs, and desires, and they align to that with content that speaks to those desires. And then they are very focused in how do they communicate with their customers. You don't see Patagonia out pushing content in TV ads and commercials. You know, they're looking in the places where their customers are and being very direct in that regard. So I think that's a key element to me. How do you think about delivering that message in a more effective way that can hit those points? I think, look, some of this is about what kind of technology are you leveraging to help you understand those pieces. We talk about first content findability, and look, SEO is still super important to that conversation. Increasingly, you can start thinking about AI tools that can help you better understand what keywords should you be looking at, what content should you be producing that is going to speak more to the needs of your customers so that they can actually find the content that is important to you. One of the, you know, data points that we actually found in our research that we were talking about a content marketing world is the proportion of marketers that say that it's too hard. They believe it's too hard for their customers to even find the content that they're putting out there. And so SEO is a big part of that at the outset. But then how do I actually make sure that the content, once people come to my site or into my engagement channel, if it's different than my website, is that content accessible? Can they use it? And now I'm talking about the diversity of human experience that exists. People who have disabilities face an overwhelming challenge to be able to actually access digital channels in particular. And so organizations really need to think about how do they actually make sure that content is accessible and usable by all individuals, regardless of whatever disabilities they may encounter. And then you want to obviously optimize that for personalization. And ultimately, when we think about personalization, how you optimize across that journey, it's about, are you teaching me something new? Are you helping me understand the product or your service in a new way? Are you connecting me with a community that actually increases the value or the experience that I have? Are you rewarding my loyalty? These are things that people are asking for in that content. And again, I think Patagonia does all of these things really, really well. And so I kind of always look back at them and think that they're a master on
the biggest trend that we're seeing right now that aligns with everything that you just said. It is especially like in the podcasting world, is like enterprise brands are starting to realize like the quantity play when it comes to audio and video needs to be scaled down, candidly. Like, I think trying to do one every other week as an enterprise brand is very, very difficult, and that you don't know what your message is oftentimes when you're putting out this audio and video content. So we're seeing a big change in wanting to do less of these episodes, let's call them, per year, but really up the quality of them. And I don't mean just like getting into a really good studio with really good cameras, like that's awesome, but like the messaging you're providing, like let's really hone in on this episode, who our guest is, what they're talking about, and why our audience, our customers, our prospects are going to care. And so that's one thing that we're seeing a lot of, and we're seeing a big change in that direction. And candidly, we're trying to push our clients in that direction, right? Like obviously would help us if people want to do more episodes, but if it brings more value, having a quality episode session where it's getting that demand, it's bringing the value and it differentiates you from the messaging of your competitors, then that's going to provide way more value for our clients than putting out 12 episodes in 6 months.
100%. Two things immediately come to mind for me. One, just because our capacity to produce has expanded by exponential measures, does it mean that our capacity to consume has? We also have finite amount of attention that we can devote to marketing messages. So, I mean, that's just one. But two, I struggle to think of any, and you know, maybe somebody who's listening out there will come back and say, oh, I've got one. But at the moment, honestly, I struggle to think of anything that we as a society produce in any construct, shape, or form where you can infinitely increase quality while also increasing quantity. And so for everything, there's a break-even point at which, you know, after you cross that, it's just diminishing returns. And I think that ultimately when it comes to content, when you factor those two things together, people's finite attention span and I think relatively low, you know, threshold at which you can produce content at quality before it begins to just diminish, it really does create an environment where you should be looking at things and saying, okay, the measure for us to produce things that are going to have high receptivity, that are going to have high value, that are going to have high, you know, reproducibility in terms of people wanting to share that content because they find it meaningful, not just to themselves, but potentially to others. There aren't that many pieces out there that, frankly, most organizations really need to produce.
Awesome. Matt, let's end on that. That was a really incredible conversation. Thank you for all the context. Thank you for all the insights. You're active on LinkedIn if anybody wants to reach out to you.
Yes.
I have someone to recommend everyone finding Matt on his LinkedIn profile. It's great to have you. You're essentially the inaugural reopening of this podcast series. I'm glad it was you. And thank you again for having the conversation.
It was absolutely my pleasure, TJ. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. And we hope you enjoyed this episode of the Leaders of B2B podcast. And as always, you can see more information about this episode and all the resources mentioned at leadersofb2b.com. If you enjoyed the show, please give us a 5-star rating. This episode is brought to you by Content Allies. We help B2B companies launch revenue-generating podcasts. We schedule interviews between you and your ideal prospects and strategic partners. You show up for engaging conversations. We handle everything else. Ready to build a podcast that grows your business in just 1 hour per week? Reach out to us at contentallies.com.